You know what you won't get when you support independent media and pledge your support at rabble.ca/donate? No tote bag, no pens, no mugs. It's not a swag thing. Pledging at rabble.ca/donate keeps Rabble's news and views for the rest of us surviving and maybe even thriving. That's rabble.ca/donate. See you there.
You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, 102.7 FM.
In 1947, future Prime Minister and Nobel Prize laureate Lester Pearson was chair of the UN committee that recommended the partition of Palestine and the creation of Israel. It was undertaken without the participation of Palestinians. Subsequently, Canadian foreign policy has continued to endorse imperial projects in the Middle East. This trend has increased almost exponentially under Stephen Harper. Canada has become a vocal and unquestioning supporter of Israel, the implication being that the criticism of the State of Israel is to be considered anti-Semitic. To discuss this subject is Montreal activist Yves Engler. He's the author of several books, including Canada and Israel, Building Apartheid. His latest book is titled Lester Pearson's Peacekeeping, The Truth May Hurt. Hello, Yves. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to talk to you again.
Likewise.
Why does the defense of Israel's policies and practices loom so large in Canadian politics today?
Well, I think there's a whole series of different social forces that are pushing Harper into a pro-Israel position. One, as you alluded to, there's a long history of Canadian support for Zionism before the creation of the State of Israel and support for Israel over the past six decades. And those social forces, I think there's a whole Christian Zionist movement that is a big part of the Conservative Party base, and there's actually roots going back to the late 1800s. The Zionist movement in Canada does not begin as a Jewish movement, but rather as a Christian movement. So there are some of those social forces pushing Harper in that direction, particularly the evangelical conservative evangelical Christians. There's also, of course, a pro-Israel, the mainstream Jewish community organizations tend to be strongly pro-Israel. And there's also a component that's not discussed much, which is the sort of imperial kind of idea that Israel is a Western military outpost in the Middle East. And this is an idea that people like Lester Pearson discussed in internal memos and cabinet back in the 50s. And I think it continues to be a major part of explaining why the Conservatives are so staunchly in support of Israel. And over the past handful of years, there's been really a deepening of the military ties, between the Canadian military at the official level, but also between different military suppliers in Canada and Israel. And increasingly, the Canadian military and the military industrial complex in this country looks to Israel as a friend in terms of expanding its sales, in terms of purchasing things like the drones that the Canadian military has purchased from Israeli military companies. So I think there's a number of different social forces pushing conservatives in the direction of being staunchly pro-Israel, from Christian Zionists to military companies to the pro-Israel Jewish organizations.
Yves, I want to ask you about the role of Christian Zionists in sort of contemporary politics, but if could you outline for us, if we're talking about Christian Zionists in a contemporary context, who exactly are we talking about and what are their political motivations?
Well, the most famous or the most prominent Christian Zionist outside of the Harper cabinet is Charles McVetti, who is a prominent, he heads up the Christian Canada College, Canada Christian Friends for Israel, a whole series of different organizations, and he's been really at the forefront of a whole series of fights against gay marriage, against changing Ontario's curriculum for students that was supposed to the Dalton McGuinty government in Ontario wanted to bring in some more progressive policy on sex education and like, and he was considered the main player who scuttled that. And so his, you know, what his interests are, I mean, Charles McVetti is quite openly Islamophobic. He's quite openly hostile to Muslims. So I think that's one of the things in there. But there is this broader, for some Christians, literal readings of the Bible include the idea that all Jews need to return to the Middle East for the rapture and the second coming. The second coming of Jesus, which will then lead to the end of the world, and in fact has a very has a whole anti-Semitic component to it. So there is this biblical rationale for supporting an expansionist Israeli policy and for being staunch support of Israel. And then there's also this sort of anti-Islam kind of component that I think has really has come out a lot more since the sort of 9/11 kind of time. I think that's a big part of what the Christian Zionists are into.
What role have Christian Zionists then played in pushing forward increasing support for Israel?
Well, I mean, they played a strong role. Charles McVetti is he's boasted that he can get Stephen Harper on the phone in 5 minutes and stuff like that. He's somebody who's been very tied into the Conservative Party at different times. But there's also a number of cabinet members and Conservative MPs that themselves are believers. Of course, someone like Stockwell Day, who's left cabinet, left government, but was an important cabinet minister for a long time. Is one of those who's a Christian Zionist, very much a believer in the sort of biblical ideas about Israel, and I think that they have clearly pushed the Conservative government in that direction. People have asked me to what extent is Stephen Harper a believer in this kind of stuff, and it's not exactly clear to me, but what is clear is that a significant part of the Conservative Party base is a believer in this kind of stuff, and these are often some of the people who do the organizing during election times. These are some, the party activists who, a significant proportion are people who believe in this kind of reading of the Bible and contemporary politics in Israel. And then also you can go find on the website of some of these different Christian Zionist groups where they openly raise funds for settlers in the West Bank, settlers that are contravening international law. In fact, you find they're more open about their support for the most sort of reactionary forces within Israel than are some of the Jewish groups in Canada. So you really see this, that they often have a very, according to their reading of the Bible, a very expansionist vision of what Israel should be. So sometimes saying as much as 10 times its current size, according to certain readings of the Bible, that Israel should be 10 times its current size, and leads them to very strong support for the settlements and the settler project in the West Bank.
Now, I understand that Canadian tax policy differentiates between charitable giving to different groups in Israel and Palestine. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the elements that I think that the pro-Palestinian movement really needs to take on seriously. And it's the fact that the Conservative government has made it openly legal for Canadians, for Canadian charities, to support the settlements, to support settler organizations that are in the post-67 territories that are that contravene international law. And this is Keith Ashfield, former minister for the tax department. He openly says that there's no problem with Canadians supporting charities or Canadian charities supporting the settlers. And the same thing goes. It's fine for charities to support Canadian charities to support the Israeli army, and you receive a tax write-off, right? So these charities, depending on your tax bracket, you can receive up to towards 40% a third to 40% of your donation to a charity, you receive in a tax credit. And so they've made, the Conservatives made this very openly legal for Canadian groups to do this. But on the other hand, it's the way Palestinian charities are treated is quite different. So, for instance, it's illegal for Canadians to give money to any Palestinian organization that has anything to do with Hamas, the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine, and five other major Palestinian political organizations. So actually, the bulk of the Palestinian political organizations are deemed terrorist organizations in Canada. And so if you give a donation to those Palestinian organizations, that's actually illegal. Or Canadian charities that are associated with Hamas or PFLP, that's illegal. So that was at the theoretical level over the past few years, but about 8 months ago, a year ago, the Canada Revenue Agency actually targeted IRFAN, which is a Toronto-based, largely Muslim charitable organization, and they rescinded their charitable status because they were supporting orphans in Gaza, and because they had sent a dialysis machine to a hospital in Gaza, and that hospital was run by the health ministry, of course, Hamas is the government in Gaza, so the health ministry is run by Hamas. So you have this serious double standard between, on one hand, you can openly receive tax subsidy for supporting the settlers, for supporting the Israeli Defense Force, but on the other hand, if you try to support Palestinians in Gaza that are in some way tied into the connected to Hamas, that is deemed illegal, and the IRFAN actually lost their charitable status. And going forward with that, the Conservatives' omnibus crime bill, the C-10, that's received lots of controversy, it actually strengthens some of these provisions where it would allow Canadians who have been harmed in a terrorist act to pursue other Canadians in Canadian court. So for instance, the idea is that if Islamic Jihad was to blow something up in Tel Aviv, and a cousin or a family member of a Canadian was to die in a terrorist attack, that Canadian could then, if there's other Canadians that had given to a charitable organization that had any ties to Islamic Jihad, that Canadian could then, or a family member of that Canadian who was harmed in a potential Islamic Jihad attack, could then pursue the donor to a Canadian charity that was seen as in some way tied to Islamic Jihad in Canadian courts. They could actually pursue them individually. A lot of this is sort of at the level of theoretical. It's very difficult to practically apply this, but the point from the Conservative government perspective is to create the chill effect and to deter Canadians from supporting Palestinian charities.
I want to turn, Eve, to Canada's military and intelligence links with Israel. What do we know about that?
Well, there's significant ties between different companies, Canadian companies that have been involved in, you know, Nortel that was involved in some of the security stuff around the wall, the apartheid wall. We know that there's a growing back and forth between the top level Canadian generals and the Israeli military. There's sort of almost a constant trips between Canadian generals to Israel or Israeli generals to Canada, and they discuss there's some stuff that's become public from the briefing notes for these visits, where Canadian generals talk about how what the Israelis have learned and perfected, if you like, in their the Israeli army in their fights with Palestinians or in Lebanon, that this is seen as very helpful for what Canada was involved with or is involved with in Afghanistan. So there is a deepening, and a lot of this is actually, a lot of the ties between Israeli and Canadian military companies are subsidized by the Canadian Israel Research a fund that finances different research projects between high-tech companies. So there is really a there's also a different Canadian military generals who sit on some Israeli Canada U.S. Israeli military companies that former generals that sit on the board and sort of oversee these companies. So there has been, particularly since the signing of the Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement in 97, there has been a real deepening of corporate ties between Canada and Israel, particularly in the defense sector.
Eve, we're going to wrap up the show very shortly, but if you had 1 minute to say what people need to do to reverse this trend, what would you say? This trend of the blind support of the state of Israel?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, obviously I think stuff like the Israeli Apartheid Week is really important, but also, you know, Independent Jewish Voices has a campaign around the Jewish National Fund of Canada, which is a charity that is involved in dispossessing Palestinians, that is involved in upholding racism within Israel, and that's a group that is, you know, subsidized by the Canadian taxpayer. And so there's work being done on that. There's obviously, you know, the Canadian Boat to Gaza initiative. There's innumerable different initiatives that are being going in the right direction. What we need to be doing is amplifying these efforts and demanding that our government, our the different public and private institutions in this country stop in their support for the ongoing dispossession of Palestinians.
Well, it's been very good talking to you this morning, Eve. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Eve Engler, a Montreal-based activist and author of the book Canada and Israel, Building Apartheid. He will be speaking in Vancouver on March 29th, and stay tuned to our program on Core Up Radio for more details.